Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and happy new year. Welcome to Unlimited Realities with Lisa Zimmer. I am your host, Lisa Zimmer, and today I'm very, very excited to provide such an inspiring, wonderful, insightful guest, author Diane Collins, who wrote the book, Do You Quantum Think? And we're going to, I thought this would be a great show to start the new year off because we are an evolving species. We are, if you're listening to this show, you're looking for tips and tools and insight to really help co-create your life. And what a wonderful guest to have today, author Diane Collins. Diane Collins is an original thinker and one of the foremost thought leaders of our time. She consults executives in the world's leading corporations as well as enterprising entrepreneurs, celebrities, students, and evolutionaries in the new system of thinking, Quantum Think. Her life is dedicated to people living spirited, joyful, and masterful lives through leaps in awareness and the expansion of their approach to reality. She's a master of translating ancient knowledge into modern quantum terms that provide a practical and transformative platform for the way we conduct our business and personal affairs. So without further ado, welcome Diane Collins. Thank you so much for being on Unlimited Realities today. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Lisa. It is such a pleasure. I'm delighted to be here with you.
Oh, I'm thrilled. I think that your book is phenomenal. I think it should be a bedside book next to anybody who's looking, who's got an awareness. Anyone who can just grasp the concept of how we think and how that can co-create our lives. What a book, chock full of. Like I was telling you, this is one of those books that I refer to. It's like a little insightful Bible, you know, if you will, because there's so much information in this. So I'm just going to dive right in.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's talk about what essential principles is quantum thinking. Where does that come from? Explain what quantum thinking is.
Okay, in a word, right?
Right.
What I discovered. You know, when I went, as I was thinking about, what do people really want, right? What do we all want? Well, we want what we want. It sounds like double talk, but it's not. So the question becomes, how do we create it? And whether you do it from a logical standpoint of our patterns of thinking give rise to our actions and therefore our experience and results, or whether you take it from the ancient wisdom. Many of the mastery traditions have said, the Buddha said, all that you are is the result of what you have thought. The Upanishads from the Vedantic scriptures said the same basic message. The Bible says the same thing. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So when I was looking at this and I thought, well, if all you had to do was change your thought, change your thinking to change your world, to have what you want, whether it is a spiritual connection desire, whether it's an emotional state, whether it's a relational quality of relational state with someone else, whether it's an outer world material result, you know, money, houses, and cars, all of the above, then what is our human access to it? Because it seemed to me that all the wisdom is available. All the how-tos and the tips and techniques, and there's so much great wisdom from ancient to modern. And my revelation, Lisa, is that we imagine we think freely and independently, like we're choosing our thoughts, but we're really, most of the time, not. And the bigger revelation was that, like everything, and you ask about the quantum principles, you know, the fundamental principle that we know of from ancient wisdom and modern science is that it's a universe of whole systems. You know, we use the word holistic and people think it's an alternative health, but it's really the nature of nature. So if you look at thinking as a system, which I did, I realized we're in a quantum reality. We're in a multidimensional, holistic reality of energy in flux, everything shifting and changing, where it's a, what we know today is that it's mind-based, it's consciousness-based. Yet, we're all still conditioned. We've been brought up in a culture from the industrial age that was truly one-dimensional. They literally said, only the physical is real, and they left, you know, spirit to the clergy. So our thinking is guided. We're in a quantum age, yet our thinking is still oriented around the five senses. We never, I was listening to one of your shows, I can't remember the gentleman's, I think his name is Jeff, where, you know, he was talking about, or as you know, as a great intuitive, that we're not taught in traditional education to learn to use the faculties of mind, such as the power of intent, the power of intention, the power of intuition. These are faculties, the power of meditation. So what I did in Quantum Think, to wrap this up, this is a big, you know, it's always a big question. I always wonder, how am I going to answer that question with quantum thinking? But it's really about taking the leap to a new system and starting to think and live from this more expanded reality as a whole integrated system.
So that would be taking your intention, your feelings, your emotions, all aspects of your sensory perceptions, as well as that inner voice and awareness, and being more clear with what's going on around you. Is that the paradigm shift of leaving old world thinking, moving into new world thinking, which we talk about, which you talk about in the book here?
Yes, because obviously the physical is how, you know, it's all related. I call it living fully dimensionally, which is, I call, you know, for short, because I try to make the book kind of, as you know, because you've read it, kind of fun, you know, conversational.
Oh, it's great.
Taking a big subject and making it easy to read and fun. So I call it living FD, fully dimensionally. So we're always, everything takes place in the physical, energetic, you know, subtle energy, spiritual, virtual of mind, cosmic principles, divine. So it's all of it, and living fully dimensionally is understanding how those different aspects of life work together. So you're exactly right on, Lisa, about, because here's an example of it. There's really a couple of quantum principles that completely shift the whole way we relate to life. And, you know, when you read my bio there, my introduction, thank you for that, that it really is, you know, when I say, well, how we relate to the whole way we relate to life. Fundamentally, because it's an energy in flux world that we're living in, and because it's directed by mind things like intent and our connection through invisible fields, right, relational fields, that, and, you know, this is not, it's not science in the sense that any human being can recognize. If you walk into a room of happy, you know, excited, enthusiastic people, that you feel it without having, you know, not that a word doesn't have to be said. So this is what I mean by invisible field. So the fundamentally, the two things that we have to realize is that for human beings, and this is outside the realm of divine that I'm talking about, just for everyday, ordinary life, there are no absolute ways that it is. See, the old world industrial age views said everything, you know, if we can figure it out, we can predict and control. So it landed us in either or thinking. Because to predict and control, you'd have to say it's either this way or that way. And this is why you see all this conflict that we have, right? So getting back to the two principles, the one principle is, there is no absolute way that he is, she is, we are. yet in life we tend to believe, let's say, our own thoughts as the truth or the outer circumstances as fixed. It's not like we're thinking this way. The whole context of the old worldview culture has conditioned us this way. And, you know, there's nothing bad about it. So we're not trading in one for the other. We're making an expansion now. Because I'm supposed when we went at that stage of evolution for people that we needed to really organize life, right, get the scientific disciplines, give rise to the machine age. I mean, it gave us so much genius. But right now, if you have an idea about something, if you have, the people who listen to your show, I know, who are listening now, who know that we have judgments, for example, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And sometimes we believe our own judgments. Or
sure.
We try to avoid, why do we have a judgment? And then we make up a whole analysis because that's the old world view. It's like analyze it into parts and then figure out
right.
how it works. So what I'm saying is at this stage in, this is a very new time for us as a humanity. Everybody feels it, whether you articulate
right.
it or not. Everyone knows it. All the systems that are coming under scrutiny, our institutions, every single bit of it, the economic, the educational, the political, the health, it's because we are ready for this evolutionary leap. And in fact, it's already beginning. So we're seeing simultaneously the dissolution, the dissolving of what's not working. And now it's up to us to put into place what is working. So it goes back to that famous Einstein, I call it a modern-day mantra, quote, the problems we have cannot be solved with the level of thinking that created them. So we make this leap to this expanded reality that you talk about, because then we are not stuck in circumstances, even though we may have a stack of evidence for how terrible our last boyfriend was to us, right?
Right.
We can shift, in fact, in a relational field. Physical fields are, take longer to shift. Physical, it's already, kind of has a sort of solidity to it.
Mm-hmm.
But in relational fields, in emotional states, in spiritual state, when we know these principles and how to manage the faculties of our own mind, we can shift it in an instant.
That's wonderful. And it goes back to kind of not looking at things in a context of being black or white, but more in a gray area, right? Wouldn't you say it would be allowing more of an open-minded approach that there is no necessarily right or wrong, it's just the concept, because you also talk about the either or to the both, and right. So let's discuss how that thinking really helps develop our quantum thinking, because we are like you were saying, we're stuck kind of in this old world belief of an and or, an either or, a black or white scenario. And we know that life isn't black and white. Most of life is gray. And to kind of step outside of that box, we're looking at things with a new perspective, a different clarity, a new feeling, a new emotion. And your book really helps demonstrate and show the reader how we can shift the old thinking that we've carried around in our personal lives, in our professional lives, and then just, flip it, shift it, just look at it from a different perspective. Let's talk a little bit about that. What does it mean from seeing things as either or to both end?
Okay. Well, let me just say something about the gray, okay, going into this, because it's even we can go beyond the gray, because quantum think is a system of 21, I call it 21 plus 1, but principles that are based in this, insights from quantum science, not about science, but it's about how those discoveries shape the way we think or how we can now shape ourselves. And merge, you know, that is now proving the universal ancient wisdom and made practical in life. So I love that you're asking me the question, you know, how do we do that? But the first three principles, just to give an example. So the first one is that it's a holistic and holographic universe. We'll come back. So it's a system of wholes. You start to see your life in wholes, not in increments, you know, like this really, it's all integrated. So it relates to the either or because you say, well, I used to be in that profession, but now I'm in this one. But I don't know if this is it. I think it should be that because we're taught to think, we're conditioned to think in increments, and we think that wasn't it, that wasn't it. But when you start to quantum think, you look from the whole of your life and you see the patterns. You see the patterns of relationships, how everything, it's like, you know, that mystery of all mysteries, infinite intelligence, how every single experience that you're given, where you're born, who you're born to, your parents, all of it, like a soul's journey, but gives you and the choices you make your the experience you need to deliver on your purpose. And then when you start to look from the whole of it, this is just one example. Like, what am I doing here? What is my purpose? What should I be doing? It's not like the either or, well, that was wrong, what I was doing, last job, and this is right. It's like, oh, that led me to this moment, and from that job, from that relationship, from living in Los Angeles, from living in Singapore, these gave me the opportunity to be where I am going forward. So you start to really look from holes. The second one is observer-created reality, which means there are distinctions in life, but no actual separations. You know, as we say, we're not used to relating through the fields that we relate in fields. So what is the observer effect in science? They found out that whatever we were observing, and it doesn't mean just seeing, it means what you hold in your awareness, in consciousness. That's an act of observation. What we hold in our consciousness literally becomes our reality. But more than that, what we bring to the observation shapes the reality. So this is what I was talking about before. Well, let me just go to the third one because you'll see how they all relate.
Okay.
The third principle is infinite possibility. In every moment, there is an infinite number of ways that we can click in, right, with our own awareness. So this is what you were saying about the gray. So you could think of it more like it's a multicolored, multidimensional, infinite possibility view. Now, what narrows the infinity of it is our consciously generated intent. So just to give a way of looking at this metaphorically, if you think of the internet, right?
Right.
You're always online, right? You're always connected somehow, wireless or otherwise. So it's a question of, and the infinite, you know, it's infinite, right? It's like the
right.
infinite mind of humanity is the internet. So it and it literally had not located in time or space in an ordinary sense of a physical object, right? It's not actually
right.
located. It's just a system of connecting, of relationship. So it's a question of what are you going to connect into? So, like, what are you going to click your mouse on, right? What are you going to tap your finger on? That, and, you know, it's, I say, the good, the bad, the ugly, and sublime. It's all there. So when it comes to our own personal view, what are we going to click our mind onto?
Mm-hmm.
And when you can see a lot of what's already there, which I call what keeps us from thinking from infinite possibility, I use the term, it's part of that principle, least action pathway. The
okay.
way the energy or the thought goes, because it's been that route before, it's something like, you know, these automatic habit habits of thinking, much of which, Lisa, we didn't even pick.
Right.
So it's like, to get to what you're saying, like how do you move from the either or to the both and world? Is that, are we, you know, is a person either generous or stingy, right? That would be an example. You make a judgment.
Okay.
Oh, that person's set. Or even about yourself, right? I'm good at speaking. I'm not good at speaking. And when you start to quantum think, you realize we have the potential for any to manifest, to actually express any human trait. So then the question is, well, what do we want to express? And when you become aware of what's automatically there, much of which we didn't even pick, it's not even personal, belief, action pathways, who knows where they came from, it doesn't make any difference, there's no meaning to it, it's just the recognition of a habit of thought you have. Oh, I either can go to that movie or that party, or, you know, and we're not thinking, well, how can I do both? How can I integrate all of it? So, and this is a very, you know, this is how it comes up. It comes up from a very personal, simple choice like that to world global affairs. And the trick is, right, is that all you have to do is know these principles, recognize your automatic habit, realize you didn't actually even choose that thought, and then go to the dynamic of creation that we've been endowed with, the power of conscious intent. And you just stop yourself, interrupt it. What is my intent right now?
That's wonderful. So it comes all the way back to, which I love, taking responsibility for our thoughts and what we're putting out there and kind of being aware that some of our thoughts are, you know, are really holding us back. And when we can identify what that thinking is and start to look at it from a different perspective, we can actually change the results in our life.
That's exactly it. And, you know, the reason that I use, you know, we don't even really use this term, system of thinking. You know, this is, I call the art of distinguishing, a new worldview of learning, is to create distinctions that are not the absolute truth either, but give us access to something. So you think about, why do we need to, you know, have thinking be a system? Because, you know, as I say in the beginning of the book, you know, change the world or your reality one thought at a time. I don't think so, you know. The agony of doing that. So the thing about this jump, a literal quantum jump in the context, it's in consciousness, but it's in the context from which you view life. Because if you look at a simple system, like a traffic system, right, the road
right.
system, and you're in a developed, like you will be guided by that system, or you can think of it as a vortex. So if you're trying, and, you know, so many people who are listening now and who are aware, I call it the consciousness crowd for, you know, affectionately,
mm-hmm.
that we, or even if you're not, you know, attuned according to really what we would call a seeker, right, you and I.
Okay.
Even if you're not, because these are the people, you read in my bio also, I work with my husband, Alan Collins, Master Quantum Think Coach, and we do consulting in companies like AT&T and CNN. And the thing about it is that these are not all what you would call, you know, at least actively articulating a conscious seeker. Yet every
right.
person knows that they want to have the kind of results and quality of life and experience, right, that they want
right.
to have.
Right.
And so when you can leap the system, you know, going back to the consciousness, it's like we know the principles, okay? We know there's a soul purpose. We know we have intuition. We know there's energy fields, right? So it's a question of, instead of looking at those things and trying to function in that reality from the more limited, I'll call it right now, it's more than a mindset, but from a more the limited mindset that we've all been conditioned to by that either or step by step, have everything in front of you reality, you know, if I don't, you know, unless I can see it, I don't believe it reality. When you can take the leap from that and start to think from the principles, it's like if you want to operate, you know, if you want to know how to live well in New York City, but you're living in Los Angeles, right, trying to figure
right.
it out. So it'd be like go to New York and then start to live from the way that city operates. So it's kind of, that's what it is, the leap in system. So what you're saying is like, yeah, we do have to, you know, become, just in doing that alone, just in making these distinct, you know, drawing, that's what the purpose of my book is to connect to your own awareness as you read. So that once you become aware of these principles, it's just natural. It's a natural integration. And you don't have to try. It's like, it's just there. You know, you do have to keep, obviously, an alertness so that when you, if you get into some kind of a, let's say, heated debate, right, with a friend
right.
or a family member or something like that, or watching someone else in some kind of a reactive mode, And you can bring that, oh, that's, they're just in a least action pathway. This isn't really consciously directed at me. And when you say, you know, we have aspire to live from compassion, not try to get to compassion, know compassion as our intimate nature. Then when you have these kind of distinctions that help you with it, you look at the person, and instead of saying, why are they like that? Why is he screaming at me? Why is he angry all the time? If you're quantum thinking, you don't ask that why question. You just look and say, oh, they have an emotional reaction pathway. And you bring your light of awareness to that person in that moment, because that's what gives you choice. And you mentioned the word responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So, right? Those two are related.
Right.
So it's not like responsibility. Go ahead.
Is it also as in an awareness as not taking things personally when someone's wigging out on you and they're you're looking at them and you're kind of in shock at their reactionary responses? Many people will go into defensive mode, and this quantum thinking really takes the personal aspect out of the equation, because you're not looking at, okay, I'm wrong or I'm being blamed. You're not taking it personally. Is that accurate to say?
Yes, very much so, Lisa, because it really is a transcendence. Now, all of those things, you know, I know a lot of people talk about that in psychology, and this is why this is literally a new time, because it's being able to actually transcend the analysis that goes with that, or they're like this because their father was like that, or not because those comments aren't valid, which there could be, but from my point of view, from which is part of quantum thinking, which I know you're distinguishing now, is that it's no longer useful. And you see, that's where it goes back to that fundamental quantum principle. There are no absolute truths, except maybe divine. So if there are no absolute truths, then why do we need, the analysis doesn't get us anywhere. But if what you're saying, what you're talking about, is really being able to transcend those type of interpretations about it, and going to, you know what, you know, how all the masters say, right, live in the moment, you know, Ram Dass,
right.
Be here now with nothing added. And, you know, this is where I say it's now time to go from knowing the wisdom or even teaching it or coaching it to actually integrating it, living it.
Right.
This is how you do it, is you have these conscious, you know, this conscious practice. You make the leap and make these little practices for the mind and awareness, I call it, which I have in the book, recreation, recreating the distinction in life. So when you see someone in that kind of, even if they're attacking you, and if you're truly in the moment, you have this presence of mind that you're talking about, Lisa, which is really the ultimate freedom, is having that responsibility that you're referring to, where, wow, you know, people go, we create our own reality. Well, in what sense do we create our reality? In this sense, is that we can master, not by force and control, but master with ease and by being centered in awareness, what we hold, what we choose to hold in our mind. So when we see someone like that, and this, you know, this takes a little, you know, it's not that, it's simple, but it's not always that easy, right?
Right,
because
right.
We believe the evidence. We think that person is that way. We think our husband is striking out at us, you know, because it hurts. We feel it. So it's not, as you said, when you can see it as not personal, as just that person, least action pathway, the way the energy goes, because it's been that route before, you can literally, when I say bring light, you can literally go to the next moment. And, you know, there's, I just want to point, I reference, as you know, a lot of amazing, wise people in my book. And one of them that brings it to mind is a teacher who I never met but read his book, who used to be in New York by the name of Rudy, just went by the name of Rudy, a spiritual teacher. And this is in the chapter, Emotions and the Power of Mind. You know, how does the power of your awareness relate to your emotional states? And Rudy said that when you respond, you know, whether it's an automatic reaction or respond in any way, when another person is upset and they're in this tension, right, and you bring your tension to their attention, it just goes, you know, that's how things go out of control.
Right.
And it goes literally nowhere, and it's not an actual, it's not a real communication, because communication has to do with connection and relatedness. So what he says is instead, you don't feed into that field. You bring your attention, your awareness, and your attention, and your centered state, because you want to connect with that person at the deeper level. And, you know, I mean, you could say, well, how do we do that? But it's just really simple. Sometimes it's a question that you ask the person, not like, why are you upset? You say, you know, I mean, that has that ever worked?
Right.
I don't
exactly.
know. It's never worked for me. I
right,
have to admit,
right.
I still do that with my husband.
Well,
no,
sure.
I
don't. You know,
I mean, I can. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to overspeak. Go ahead and finish.
No. I wanted to hear you.
I find that, you know, there's so much ease in the ability to grasp this concept. And yet, as we know, easier said than done sometimes, because when someone's screaming at you, the natural impulsive reaction for the human being, not the evolved spiritual being, but the human being, is defense. And so it is a mindfulness approach. It is an integrity and an intention that you can take a step back and take a deep breath and look at this person who's losing it and not get emotionally entangled in their energy, what they're saying, their accusations, and really, you know, shed the light to connect. And that is something that, you know, it takes practice, wouldn't you say? I mean,
it becomes easier the more you do it. It takes practice. And, you know, sometimes when people say, what is, and it does. That's a really important point that you just made, Lisa, that the more you practice, it becomes integrated as a way of life. I mean, why do we admire, you know, people like, excuse me, like Jesus or, you know, in modern day, the Dalai Lama, who lives with such, right, compassion, who completely, I mean, it isn't even, I don't even think, I don't know how he says it, a matter of forgiveness of the Chinese who are in a cultural least action pathway, I call that, right, where you're just
right.
So caught up in, you know, that's not a consciously aware, awakened soul, awakened heart state. That's just the least action pathway of the culture. That it's not even a question of forgiveness. It's like he's just has compassion, you know, in a sense. So that's the embodiment of the compassion, that this is what we've all aspired to. And there's a chapter, you know, my book, as you know, is in two parts. Part one, wake up. You know, the question is, why should we quantum think? Why do we need to quantum think? You know, why do we need to have this leap and expand? And one of the chapters is the mastery chapter, and we're, you know, I'm talking about, referring, you know, why do we admire these people? Because we are that ourselves. They all said, right, you can be this. The kingdom of God is within you. And so then it becomes the question, how do we reach that? So the part two of my book, Live the Wisdom, the Quantum Think System. Here are the principles. Bring them into your awareness and do these practices for the mind and awareness. Because these simple, it's what you're saying, it takes practice. You know, we know this of anything. If you want to be a great, if you want to master anything, master a tennis. I'm a tennis player, my husband said, I always think of tennis analogy. You might be able to hit a tennis ball because you have a racket and a ball and there's a net, but you're not going to be good at it. You might be able to get a little bit better with one lesson from someone who has mastered that, but obviously you're never going to be masterful unless you're in the continuous practice. This is it, and I love that my publisher, you know, he pulled out, like, the call-out line from, as you know, the book, which has a lot in it, and he put it on the back cover.
Mm-hmm.
When you master your mind, you master your life. He pulled that out from me as a quote, because that's really what we're talking about here, because whatever we want to master, it is a question of being able to connect to that centered state of conscious awareness, awakened thinking, right, beyond the automatic conditioning. And that is a place where we have choice.
Right. And it's also where we have, you know, responsibility, and we take these baby steps forward, and sometimes we move three steps forward in one day and two steps backwards the next, but we keep moving forward with that intent. And I love how you use the power of intent, because I believe that the power of intent, when we tap into that, when we're aware of what our intention is, it literally creates miracles in our lives, because if we're not, we're the rudderless ship. We're just bouncing off of whatever happens to us. And where the result of those circumstances. So you really put the power back into the hands of the individual by, hey, look, here's your responsibility. You can choose it or lose it, and you can take it or you can, you know, run with it or you can walk away from it, but the result will be determined by your intent. You also talk about the non-local mind, and it's a term that you use in the book. What is the non-local mind?
Okay, the non-local mind comes from, and I think it was coined by Larry Dossey, Dr. Larry Dossey, who I think you know, right? Because
yes,
I saw him in your testimonial.
Love Larry. He's great.
He's wonderful. I met him at a few times at conferences, you know, not personally like you have, but familiar with his work. So he, I think, is the one that coined that phrase. A lot of people do who are into, you know, quantum principles. And the idea of it is this, and that is in the chapter Intuition and Non-Locality, because the quantum scientists use this term, non-locality, that it's a non-local universe. What does that mean? It means that it's not local and it's not located. So when you apply it to the mind, right,
mm-hmm.
the mind is not an object like a physical object, like a pen on your desk. It doesn't have a temporal, a time. It doesn't exist in time and space. It exists in a dimension beyond time and space, right?
Right.
So therefore, and this is what it means by non-local mind, because our mind has this non-local quality, and as I like to say, the mind is not synonymous with the brain. The brain is the physical transmitter of mind, of consciousness, of intelligence, right? Intelligence and
right.
energy. That's why intent works. So it's not, you know, the brain, of course, obviously is important. But so when you get to this non-local mind, because it's not restricted, our intent or any of the faculties of mind, meditation I call a faculty of mind as well, the power of resonance to generate resonance is a faculty of mind. So because it's not restricted by ordinary physical space or chronological time, that's why intuition works, right? I mean, I know
right.
you know this, but how, you know, is there a basis for it? Or is it just like, hey, it's a beautiful miracle? Well, it is a beautiful miracle. But now there's a scientific basis for it that explains it. Because the mind is not located, it means the mind can go anywhere in space and time. And that gets back to what I was talking about, connectivity. So you could connect into any information, right? You're an intuitive.
Right.
So how would you explain how you connect with your own, you know, highly developed intuitive art and talent that you have? How do you explain it?
I quantum think.
That's good. I love it. You do.
I actually go into a state of connectedness with essence, and I listen to my body and my thoughts and my feelings, and depending upon who I'm working with and the energy that I'm working with, I will have a myriad of different sensory perceptions that come through. So there's some people I'll connect with and I'll actually see things, I'll hear things, I'll get more precision with them. And then there's others who are a little bit more clouded or doubtful or fearful, and I have to work through that energy to get the clarity from divine
yeah.
source. So
mm-hmm.
so that's how I work.
Yeah, that's it. So what I'm saying in that chapter is that developing the use of intuition first as a discipline and that means doing it consciously until the discipline of it disappears and you're just living that way, because you're living that way, right? So what you're saying, I like what you said about the cloudiness, because what you're doing is you are you have an intent to pick something up if somebody has a question, right, that you're guiding them with. And so your intent, this is how I describe it, you're connecting to the field of intelligence and energy. So I make a distinction between intent and intention. I know most people use that interchangeably. But in quantum think, what I'm saying is that intention is like a course of action toward an end goal. Whereas when you learn to, you know, when you start to know that, you know, we live in fields of intelligence, energy, connectedness, that awareness, that all of the above, that you can create an intent, and the intent activates that particular probability wave field. It sounds a little technical, but it really is, you know, very obvious when you just become aware of it, is that intent activates a field that will connect to it, not one end result, one end outcome, but many results consistent with it. So, for example, if you have an intent, let's think of an example that you think someone might have in today's...
An intent to build up their business.
Right, and that's good. And especially now, and we know we're really, I think if people are all aware, realizing that we're going to be doing it in a new way now.
Right.
Not just the ordinary way, but, you know, taking what we've built in our business or what we've built in our vision of our business and now expressing it and having it happen in a new way, then maybe in the quantum world, in this world of fields, you don't see all of it. See, the old world view is, let me see all the information lined up, then I'll make an action, then I'll make a move. When you quantum think, you realize you're only ever going to see maybe 10%, okay? So you create a statement of intent in the present tense as if it already is, because this goes back to non-local mind. It's beyond the limit of chronological time. So you're seeing it as if it's already happening, but you're activating the field of intelligence, the field of a connection. So you might have, instead of saying, my intent is I am going to develop my business from a local business to an international business. Okay, let's just say that, right?
Okay.
Local meaning, you know, you're in your own city.
Right.
Instead of that, which is a future-based, right, statement, so that's more like an intention. Instead of that, we would coach people to say it like this. My business is thriving internationally. See, that's a statement of intent.
And almost like a powerful positive affirmation as well.
Yeah, but it's not positive thinking. And this is a very important distinction.
Okay.
First, to finish on the intent, what happens when you have that intent is you're now, you know, okay, what do you want to do with your business? You know, it's an infinite possibility universe. You've narrowed it. You know, you're creating a probability, you know, a wave field where many, many results will attract to you because you're holding the intent. My business is thriving internationally. Now, the reason it's not positive thinking is because positive thinking is covering up a negative thought that you think is real.
Okay.
It's not like it's not real. But let's say the old world view, the industrial age, right, what I call the old world view thinking, has conditioned us to believe our thoughts or believe our thoughts, our conclusions that we've made because we've seen evidence for it. You know, people used to say, oh, you can never end hunger on the planet. That's just the way it is. Or you can never end war. You know, there'll always be war. Well, that's not an absolute truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's just something that humanity, a large part of humanity, is holding place, right? So if you take this to yourself personally. So this is where it goes back to that fundamental principle upon which really all of our technology was able to be developed from. You know, all these technologies that we enjoy today, computer, you know, wireless, mobile, all of it, because they came to these principles in quantum physics and in, you know, from starting with Einstein and then beyond the quantum physics, I'm sure, because life evolves. So that fundamental principle that because everything is energy in flux, everything is guided by the instrument doing the observation. That's how they say it in science. But for us, the instrument is our own mind. That means it's malleable, it's changeable, it's flexible, and we're the ones always shaping what we see. So the difference is you realize it's no more the truth, I am a great speaker or I'm not a good speaker. So you could have, right? We call that
right.
An unaware intent. Something that you would hold, like what you were talking about, I call it any of these wretched self syndromes, you know, that I say has to go. Any of these thoughts you have about yourself that are really holding you back. See, if you start operating from, you know what, I love to speak to groups. I love it, you know. It's no more the truth than I'm not a good speaker. The difference is, you realize, and this is how we say it in quantum framework, reality is context dependent. The reality will show up based on which context you're choosing to live from. So when you realize this, that you're the one creating the context, you see, that's different than trying to cover up that you really, underneath it all, really don't think you're a good speaker. See what I mean, Lisa?
Gotcha. Yes, gotcha.
That's
okay.
Why it's not positive
it's
thinking
not
when
positive
you're quantum thinking.
Thinking.
Right.
Yes, yes.
It's the realization of the nature of nature. It's a context-driven reality. And I get, as you say, I love how you say it, it's like the freedom that comes with being responsible that, you know what? I can create the context that I'm going to live from, even though
exactly.
I don't feel like I'm a great speaker right now. I don't feel like my business is thriving right now. Eventually, that circumstance called how do you feel, right, will eventually match up with your intent because that is the dynamic of creating for human beings, so that intent dynamic.
And with the other aspect, the other side of the coin, when we are looking at things optimistically and positively, and then the other side of the coin, we're looking at some fear aspects or some aspects within ourselves that are fear-driven, that too would draw additional vibrations of that fear to validate what you are co-creating and creating. Is that correct?
Yeah, because, you know, here's what we say. It's not like you're going to get rid of the negative thought, as my husband Alan says. You know, the thought got there before you did. He means, you know, the thought
right.
visited, you know, because we're in fields. Thoughts are visiting us, literally. They're like flying in. And as I'm saying, you know, if you were at conscious choice, you wouldn't choose that, right? Or you wouldn't choose an emotion. We need fear in the world
right.
because we need it to survive. But in other, we don't need it to adapt it where, you know, we're afraid to make a move. So what we say is there are circumstances. There are real circumstances going on, right? There are wars.
Right.
There are conflicts. There are arguments in families. There are, you know, illness. There are all those things. There are fears and doubts and insecurities that we experience. What we do have complete jurisdiction and choice over is are how we choose to relate to that fear. So what we say is there are circumstances, and then there's the matter of how we are related to those circumstances, and that's where our power lies. So if you have a fear, you don't have to identify with the fear. See a lot, right? You know this.
Right.
Coaching.
Right.
Like people will sometimes we think we are the contents of our mind. We identify
right.
with every emotion that's or thought that's passing through. So if you can just even make that distinction in how you're related to that, well, wait a minute. That's just a thought passing by. Let it keep going. That's not me. That's not who I am. I am the awareness who can watch that thought and not latch on to it and not own it as my identity. So you can do that with you can do that with fear, and it's, again, it isn't like you're not going to experience it. You know, this isn't
right.
like the Pollyanna, you know, pie in the sky, think positive. No, it's just being able to think from these principles where you have a choice in how you relate to what goes on in your life all the time and to learn the principles of creation, those principles that allow us, as you say, to tune in with our non-local mind, to tune in the way that you do. I know because I read this and I've heard you say it in your shows that you, Lisa, want to, you're using your very, you know, highly astute power of your intuitiveness, clairvoyance with people, but you also want them to develop it in themselves, yes?
Absolutely, absolutely. I you know, that's my whole point in doing the work that I do, is tapping everyone back into who they are, their truth, their intuition, so that they
yeah.
do not become a victim of someone else's power, and they do not
right.
give their power away.
Right,
yes.
And it's like going to any masterful coach, right?
Right,
and so
right.
my book is like that, and by the way, it's called Do You Quantum Think, New Thinking That Will Rock Your World, and everybody
Amen.
Always says, don't forget to say the title of your book, and it's available everywhere, but, you know, it's that what my intent was putting it all together, because we're all aware, you know, we have little of this, conscious awareness, you know, enlightened this kind of thinking,
right.
quantum principles, ancient wisdom, subtle energy, intuition, and how do we, and resonance, right, and manifestation. And so it's really to put it all together so that you can keep bringing it into your awareness. I read it myself with Alan, because even though it came through me, we all have the right unique wisdom and talent that comes through us.
Right.
One of the chapters, which you can distinguish your own purpose in there in the book, that you, as it's come through me, yet I need to always listen to it, read it, and keep practicing myself. Because
right.
this is the stage of evolution we're in, where we take the leap and then you keep, you know, taking those lessons. And so I and my husband, Alan, and, you know, we've been working with people, consulting with people, coaching people in it. We have an ultimate study group, by the way, that we do twice a month teleconference for free that anyone can go to dianecollins.com and sign up for. It's Diane with two N's. DianeCollins.com, and you can sign up for that and get the replays if you can't make it to those two meetings. But it's like that's the reason we do that ultimate study group for readers of the book, because people want to stay in the practice
right.
and keep bringing it into your awareness so that it becomes natural.
That's right, and it is that practice. And we have about 30 seconds, so I want to thank you, Diane. You have been just a blessing of a guest. I have absolutely loved this show. You are such a wealth of wisdom and information, and I want everybody to go out right now and buy Do You Quantum Think, New Thinking That Will Rock Your World, author Diane Collins. Wonderful, wonderful book. I would love to have you on again, so we'll be in touch. And